Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
We're very pleased to welcome back to Lutheran Radio Dr. Callum McKellar. He is the Director of Research for the Scottish Council on Human Bioethics in Edinburgh, and he has recently been called as an official witness to the High Court in the case brought there by a young lady named Heidi Crowder. And it's lovely to have you back with us, Dr. McKellar. Thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
So, can you tell us a little bit more about your involvement in this case? Maybe if we start with, who is Heidi Crowder and what suit is she bringing against the government?
So Heidi Crowder is a young lady who has Down syndrome herself. She's become a sort of campaigner to try and protect the rights of people with Down syndrome. She lives by herself. She has support, however. And she became very concerned when she realized that 90% of people, of fetuses that were diagnosed with Down syndrome were being terminated. And she was concerned because she felt that basically the message she was getting was that she should not exist herself. Now, so she's got a boyfriend. Her boyfriend also has Down syndrome. I believe they must be in their 20s or early 30s, both of them. However, there's another lady who's joined Heidi Crowder in this court case. It's a lady called Mary Lee Wilson, and she's got a little boy who's also got Down syndrome. So it's basically both these two women that have brought this case to the High Court.
So for maybe those who don't know, what is Down syndrome?
So Down syndrome is a genetic disorder whereby people are born with an extra chromosome 21. These people usually are recognizable. They have certain features in their face and so on. There's different levels of severity. Some of them, like Heidi Crowder, can live quite a normal life. There's usually some form of mental disability. Sometimes there's also heart defects and so on. It is a disorder that enables people to, if they don't have any other problems apart from learning disabilities, it enables people to live quite normal lives. But a lot of parents don't want these kinds of children. They see them as disabled. They wanted a child that was not affected by any disability, or especially inborn disabilities. And that's why so many of fetuses with Down syndrome are terminated. Children with Down syndrome are born from older mothers. So the older a woman becomes in her 30s and so on, the higher the risk of giving birth to a child with Down syndrome. So really, they just have an extra chromosome, actually. So they have more chromosomes than a normal person, an extra chromosome 21.
And you talked about how Heidi is very concerned about the abortion laws in the UK. What is the focus, and I suppose what are the abortion laws in the UK?
Okay, so this is quite a complicated development. The abortion laws have been changing over time, but what happened in 2008, the original piece of legislation, which is the Abortion Act 1967, was amended, and in 2008 was the latest version, but in 1990, the Abortion Act 1967 was amended so that people with fetuses with a disability could be aborted up to birth, even though there was no risk for the mother, and no health risks and so on. However, if the fetus was not did not have any disability, then abortion would only be possible up to 24 weeks. So really, since 1990, there's been two ways of looking at atheism. If it's disabled, it's seen somehow as having less value and therefore could maybe can be aborted up to birth. However, if the fetus is not disabled, it cannot be aborted past 24 weeks and therefore is seen as being more protected, better protected, and therefore having more value and worth. And that is what Heidi is really quite concerned about, these two ways of looking at fetuses. For her, everybody should be equal. This is something I agree with as well. Every fetus should be seen in exactly the same way, whether it's disabled or not disabled. And for the law to even state this clearly is discriminatory. And that's why she's going to court to try and challenge these different ways of looking at a disabled or a non-disabled fetus.
Now, to me, that begs one obvious question. How does the law define disabled? I mean, I'm actually registered blind, so I'm guessing I fall under that category of disabled, so it quite concerns me as well. But is there an actual definition of what disabled means legally?
No, there isn't, actually, and this is one of the problems. Disability is really only agreed between the parents and the physician in charge of the woman when she's pregnant. So fetuses have been terminated in the past because they've had six fingers, because of club foot, which is something that can be repaired through surgery, also through cleft lip, another in congenital disorder that can be repaired very easily through surgery. These terminations are taking place in the UK, and it is extremely concerning that these kinds of procedures are happening. One of the problems often is that what's happening is that it's just the parents and the physician that are sort of agreeing what lives are worth living and what lives are not worth living. In a civilized society, it's not just two or three people that decide. In a civilized society, the worth and value of life is agreed by all of society, by parliament. So what is happening right now, in a way, is not something that supports civilized society. In a civilized society, as I said, everybody is valued, and it's the society, the parliament itself, that decides the value and worth of life. It's not just two parents in a physician.
Again, that leads me to something else that I find very strange. As you mentioned, just a handful of people saying, okay, this person is worth saving and this one is not. But it does strike me that she has brought this suit against the British government. And I'm assuming the British government is fighting this. What's their legal justification for opposing her? Or are they not fighting her?
They are fighting it. And that's why it's going to court. So there's witnesses on their side as well. The reason that the basis for the government to fight it is autonomy. So they believe parents have the right to make their own decisions. But this is one of the big problems that we are facing within society right now. Do we put autonomy first? Is autonomy, so the right for the parents or whoever in other, with other procedures to do what they want? Or is the value of and worth of life, is that the most important, issue? Now, in many instances, we are entitled to choose what we want. We choose what we want for our meals, for example. We choose what kind of clothes to wear. So autonomy is important. But when it competes against the very value and worth of life, then autonomy must come second. And this is something the British government has not yet understood. And I do hope they will understand this very soon. Because if autonomy trumps in a way the value and worth of life, then we're on a very, very dangerous road to chaos, basically, where everybody just does what they want, and where the strong will abuse the weak. So hopefully the British government will understand that when it comes to the value and worth of life, this must have priority over just the wishes of the parents or of the medical doctor in charge.
And again, I suppose just to be clear, because I, in watching some news reports on this, there was some confusion, in my opinion, where people are accusing Ms. Crowder and others of trying to get rid of abortion laws in the UK. But that's not really the point, is it?
That's correct. So her main argument is an argument based on equality, the equality of value and worth of everyone. And she's got a very good case, and hopefully the Equality Commission and so on will support her. In the past, we've had societies that have believed in racism between different parts of the population based on the color of the skin. We've also had sexism where women, for example, even in the UK, could not vote. So if racism and sexism is unacceptable based on equality, so is what we call ableism. Ableism is discrimination between ability and disability. And that is also just as unacceptable as racism and sexism. And hopefully the English court will understand this.
So you were called to be an official witness to the High Court. Can you tell us what that involved? What did that mean? And a little bit more about the case and how things are going with that.
Okay, so I was a witness to try and explain what the other different legislations around Europe did relating to trying to address abortion for disabled fetuses and non-disabled fetuses. So I used to work for the Council of Europe in Strasbourg in the bioethics division there. And my role was to draft European conventions, biomedicine, to help draft the European conventions, but also to look at what's going on in all the different countries. So in different countries in Europe, there is, not all of them, but in some of them, there is no difference between disabled fetuses and non-disabled fetuses. So there's an absolute equality between all different kinds of fetuses. And this is what happens in these countries. And this is what myself and also Heidi Crowder believe should be happening in England and Wales.
And so as we see this case unfolding, I mean, it's interesting, but I suppose some people might say, well, how does this affect me, or does it affect me? Is there any, why should I be bothered?
Well, everybody is bothered with decisions in court or in parliament relating to the value and worth of life. If, for example, our society believes that there's such a thing as a life unworthy of life, where does that stop? Everybody, eventually, if they grow old, for example, will have some kind of disability, and will our society still believe that older people with a disability have absolute worth and value, or will our society believe that our own lives become lives unworthy of life? So it really is crucial to everyone, but it's also crucial for a civilized society to continue to exist. And this is why we really have to keep an eye on this court case, keep an eye on what the developments will be in Parliament. For example, if she does win her court case, Parliament will have to change the law. And that will be inevitable. So there's deep philosophy involved, but it is something that is extremely important for our society.
And as you mentioned, we need to keep an eye on this case. And it's not going to, I'm guessing, happen very fast. It's going to take a long time, very complicated issues. But let's play hypothetical here. And what would be the consequences, do you think, if Heidi loses the case and the current law is upheld?
Well, if she loses the case, then society, the UK society, will have accepted the principle of a life unworthy of life. And that is a very dangerous position to be in for a civilized society. Well, slowly, I believe, we will no longer become a civilized society if we believe that certain lives are unworthy of life. Now, what will also happen is that Heidi will receive the message that basically people like her should not be brought into existence. And indirectly, the message that she will be receiving is that she herself should not have been brought into existence. Interestingly, however, she could then respond to the judges of the High Court by saying that they must have had an inborn inability to understand her own argument, and therefore these judges should also not have been brought into existence. And if they get hurt by that message from herself, then tough, because that's the message she's receiving if she loses the court case. So everybody could go around telling everybody else, if she loses the court case, that you should not have existed. Now, that's not really the kind of message that can ever be a good grounding for an equal society, a civilized society.
And again, playing hypothetical, what happens if she wins her case? What would the consequences of that perhaps be?
So if she wins her case, it would mean that everybody has equal value and worth, but it also means that every possible future person that will come into existence has equal value and worth. And if everybody is absolutely equal in value and worth, how can a decision be made between them, between a disabled child and a non-disabled child, or between an intelligent, a person that's very good in mathematics, or somebody who's very good in spelling, or somebody who's terrible in mathematics or terrible in spelling? So we will not be able to make decisions between inborn abilities because everybody is absolutely equal in value and worth. So it will not only affect Heidi Crowther, but it will affect the main argument that is coming out at the moment on eugenics. Eugenics is about trying to say that these people should exist and these people should not exist. Because if she wins her case, everybody is equal. And therefore, if everybody is equal, how can you make decisions between different kinds of people who should exist? And the whole world will be watching Heidi Crowther's court case. I know all of Europe will be watching, Australia, America, because the law would have to change then in the UK, but the laws will then have to be changed in all the other parts of the world, because they would have understood this argument that she is making, that we should not ever say that possible future persons have different kinds of worth or value, that some should exist and some should not exist.
So if she wins this case, how does Parliament fit into this then? Is this, I mean, does it have to go back to Parliament for debate, or does it go back to Parliament where they have to actually change the law then?
If she wins the debate, they will have to go back to Parliament, and the Parliament would have to amend the 1990 Human Fertilization Embryology Act, which itself amended the 1967 Abortion Act. So it would have to go back to Parliament. And Parliament will have to acknowledge that everybody is equal.
And Parliament would have no right to veto that. They would have to make this into current legislation.
Yes. Parliament could not veto this. Well, it could, but then it would undermine its own existence, because Parliament itself is based on equality and value of worth of everybody in society. So if Parliament rejects what the High Court decided, Parliament undermines its very existence.
And again, in watching some interviews of Heidi, she doesn't hide the fact that she's a Christian, that she comes from a Christian family. And she quoted Psalm 139, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Now, I know that that may not necessarily play terribly well in the UK, particularly press. But as coming at this with Christian values, with Christian identity in mind, again, do you think this will negatively or positively affect the case or not have any relevance at all? And again, as a Christian, how do we then, as you say, look at the fetus, the unborn baby in the womb? How do we approach that?
I think she is a Christian, and I think the way her Christian faith affects in the way her view of life is by supporting this concept that I've talked about a number of times already about this equality in value and worth. So Christianity is the basis of this way of thinking, of the fact that everybody is equal, every fetus is equal. From a scientific perspective, of course, none of us are equal. From an autonomy perspective, none of us are equal. Some have more autonomy than others. So it's really because of Christianity that everybody is considered to be equal in UK legislation, because UK legislation is based on a Judeo-Christian heritage, and this heritage is very, very was very, very much influenced UK legislation. So if Heidi can sort of explain that her belief in equality comes from a Christian faith, hopefully this will remind the whole of society that equality, even in legislation, comes from a Christian heritage. Because there is no other source, there's no other basis of equality apart from this belief in the fact that we all made in the image of God in exactly the same way, and we all reflect the image of God in exactly the same way. Of course, the image of God is hidden by sin, but this image of God as such in every single person, in yourself, in myself, in Heidi Perota, is exactly the same. And that is the basis of equality in our society. And our society, hopefully, our secular society, hopefully, will recognize eventually that it's the fact that it is civilized comes from our Judeo-Christian heritage.
It almost sounds like that if this is rejected, we're in the dog eat dog survival of the fittest world. But again, we as Christians know, as you mentioned, we have the image of God, and Jesus died for each and every last one of us, no matter who we are. And again, those seem to be two stark contrasts to me.
That's right. So if she loses, there is no basis for equality, really. Apart from autonomy, which, as I said, the autonomy that cannot give equality, and we will become a jungle, and the strongest will survive, and the strongest will abuse the weak, like what happens in the jungle. That we, so far at least, in Britain, for the last 2,000 more years, we have not lived in a jungle. We lived in a Christian world and a civilized world, well, most of the time, where we really did believe in equality between everyone.
And I remember many years ago hearing somebody speaking who had cerebral palsy, and their sort of catchphrase was, God didn't make junk. And I wonder if, you know, taking a worldview that says some are better than others has that alternate effect of saying, okay, that person is junk. I'm okay, but they're just junk. God messed up. But again, I suppose from your perspective, how do we help those with disabilities to understand that they too are created in God's image? They too are loved by Christ, that Jesus died for them, that they are forgiven by Christ, and that they really have huge, huge value.
Yes. So our society, little by little, even in the Christian church, actually is being influenced by this concept of a quality of life. So if you have a good quality of life, if you have a long life with lots of pleasures, even if you have a nice family life, you have grandchildren and so on, then you have had a good life. And if you don't have all this, then your life has no quality or less value and so on. I mean, for example, I've got problems. I'm not married and I don't have children or whatever. So a lot of people would even say, well, my life would have less value or worth than somebody else's life. Now, this concept of quality of life, of suffering, and so on, is influencing, as I said, our churches and our society as a whole. That we've got to, in a way, put this aside and try and remember how God sees us and how God values us. He is the real source of value and worth, the only source of value and worth. And he loves us unconditionally, no matter who we are, whether we have a lot of disability, whether we're single or whatever, whether we're old or young or successful or not. God loves us equally. It is his view that really matters. But we should also remind ourselves that some lives do experience an awful lot of suffering. Every life is different, and compassion means, in Latin, suffering with, trying to suffer with the people who are suffering. We don't understand suffering. Nobody understands really why people suffer more than others. But God walks with us through this suffering, and often he also sends other people to walk with us through the suffering. And the suffering changes us as well. I mean, if you asked Heidi Crowther if she suffers, I'm sure she does. A lot of people with Down syndrome, for example, have other medical disabilities. But if you asked her, would you like to be somebody else? Would you like to not have Down syndrome? She'd probably say no. She said, no, I'm quite happy as I am. And if I did not have Down syndrome, I'd be somebody else. I'd have another name, for example, or whatever. But I am who I am, and I know God loves me as I am. I am no mistake, because nobody is ever a mistake in God's eyes. Some people live very happy lives. Some people live just 30 minutes after birth. But these lives are just as wonderful in the eyes of God. And that's how we should learn to see them as well in society, in the church. That is extremely important.
As you mentioned this, Dr. McKellar, it does strike me that somebody who says that your existence isn't worth anything, that you don't have a quality of life, is a very arrogant argument. We have a member of our congregation who has Down syndrome. And as you say, he's very happy. He's very productive, and he is a wonderful Christian. So I just find that argument hard to fathom. But as we go forward and we encourage the churches to care for those with disabilities, how can we take part, I suppose, in helping with this court case? And again, perhaps keeping Heidi in our prayers, and how do we keep up to date with what's happening?
Yes, I certainly believe that we should be praying for Miss Heidi Crowther, that she will stay strong when the journalists contact her. And there will be dozens and dozens of journalists contacting her, probably not just even from the UK, but from around the world, that she'll know what to say, that she'll have peace, that she'll know that God will be helping her, protecting her, giving her wisdom, giving her strength to go through this this court case. These court cases are not easy. We should maybe also be praying for the judges so that they understand the arguments. Judges are not philosophers, and there's some quite deep philosophy involved in all this, especially when, I won't go into the details, but it affects all sorts of other people as well. So that the judges will understand the importance of equality. So just keep our eyes out when the court case does take place. It should be taking place in June. To really remember Heidi and all involved and the judges so that the right outcome will exist.
Dr. Callum McKellar, we thank you very much for your time, for your insights, for using your skills to, again, call our society back to reminding us that we are made in God's image, that Christ has died for us all, and the value and importance of human life. We pray God's richest blessings upon you, upon your continued work, and thank you again for being with us on Lutheran Radio UK.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.